And this is It Starts Now, the podcast that celebrates grown folk joy, bold conversations, and living your best life after 50. Join me, your host, Juanita, as I talk real talk about life, wellness, relationships, style, and everything in between. Always with laughter, zero politics. You can catch us now on BBS Radio TV, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Your best life, it starts now. So I had the opportunity to get William Cain. You know William Cain, the author of The Kissing Book. He came out with this wonderful book called Coffee, Nectar of the Gods or Dangerous Brew. And you guys, everybody knows I have a Instagram posting that says hashtag sexy coffee stories. I put something every single day about my love for coffee. So I wanted to have him on the show because the book tells us about all the good, the bad, and the ugly about drinking coffee, but more importantly, a lot of the good, a lot of the advantages of drinking that cup of joe. So buckle up, start your percolators, put your K-cups in, get your French press going, get your, what else we got? Your instant coffee. It's going to be an interesting show with William Cain talking all things coffee. Oh my God, it starts now. Welcome back to the podcast. You guys have wrote to me about William Cain. You said you loved him, his kissing book, and guess what? I have him back. And he is talking about coffee, and you guys know how much I love coffee. His book that he wrote, it's a personal book, and he said, I can share with my audience. It's called Coffee, Nectar of the Gods or Dangerous Brew. William, what does that mean? Do tell.
Well, thank you again for inviting me on, Juanita, and It's a pleasure to discuss this research because very few people know about it and so many people drink coffee. Well, the danger is that the recent research has revealed that we all have a genetic profile, and this genetic profile impacts the way we process caffeine. And some people are called rapid caffeine metabolizes, and they deal with it very well. And other people, no, they're called slow caffeine metabolizes because their genetic profile cannot really clear their system of caffeine adequately and quickly enough to prevent harm. And that harm is an increased likelihood of non-fatal heart attacks. So the people who are rapid caffeine metabolizers, like I found out I was when I took a genetic test with 23andMe, well, we deal with caffeine really well. And if we drink coffee, we are going to reduce our risk of heart attacks. Unbelievable as it may sound, the caffeine gives this added benefit as protection for us against non-fatal heart attacks.
So your 23andMe DNA told you that you were a rapid caffeine metabolizer or fast caffeine metabolizer.
Yes. Not only that, it told me so many other things about myself, positives and negatives. And what I, as a firstborn, focus on all the time, because I can't take criticism, you know, I'm very unable to handle it.
Right.
I just focused on the positives, and I learned all these things about myself. Like, for example, I learned better from my mistakes than the average person. Now, how could they know this in genetic, just from a genetic test?
Right.
The reason they know this is because of dopamine signaling in the brain, and your genes program how you handle dopamine. And when you make a mistake, if you have good dopamine signaling, you learn from it. And I learned from my mistakes. So after I found out that I could learn from my mistakes better than most people, I started to relax a lot. And I didn't care if I made mistakes because I figured I'd learn from them.
Wow. So I remember reading in your book, it says 49% of the population are fast metabolizers.
Yes, that's right. And that means that Starbucks should be very happy. These people will crave coffee. They can drink 3 or 4 cups of coffee and, you know, it doesn't really bother them that much. It doesn't keep them awake. I knew a cab driver and he would drink coffee even at night. He said it helped him to sleep. Can you believe that?
You know, I'm going to throw that out there because I have friends who I've told people that I can literally, and I think it was because when I was working like overnights or whatever, and I was working in news, and I would drink a cup of coffee at night and I had no problems going to sleep. I have no jitters. I've never had the jitters. I've never had the, you know, someone, you know, starts talking to you going, what? I never had any of that. As a matter of fact, I was so cool and calm. I kept thinking, am I drinking coffee? Am I making it right? I didn't have any of those effects.
Unbelievably nice to know. And what that, Juanita, what that means is you don't really need to take the genetic test. You know, by your ability to drink a few cups of coffee without getting upset or the jitters, you know that you are a rapid caffeine metabolizer. You deal with it better than the average person.
Now, what about the ugly? Now, and I'm going to be really candid right now. So sometimes caffeine causes other things to happen, like an irritable bowel, it literally makes you go to the bathroom, like right after you have a cup of coffee.
Yes, this is true that it can stimulate the human system to react in these ways. And some people find that that's, you know, a great difficulty for them.
Yeah.
Whereas other people, you know, they found ways to accommodate that, you know. But it does have that effect on people. There's a spectrum of tolerance for caffeine. And some people are very, very unable to tolerate it. They'll have to run to the bathroom right away. Other people, they can tolerate it a little better. And they find that the advantages outweigh the disadvantages. So there's both advantages and disadvantages to caffeine. But in my opinion, overall, the advantages significantly outweigh the disadvantages. So that's my opinion on it.
And we're going to talk about the advantages because I did outline some advantages, and we're going to talk to William about that in a minute. But let me ask you this: does age matter? Like, can a 5-year-old drink coffee?
No, they can't drink coffee when they're young, and there's a reason for it. It's that the internal clearance of caffeine from the dietary tract is not developed in a child, especially in infants, babies, and young children. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you give a child a piece of chocolate, even for late lunch or dinner as a snack or a dessert, you are risking impeding their ability to sleep. So it's dangerous to give coffee to children. And also pets. If a dog, for example, eats chocolate, it could actually kill the dog.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading about that. I remember panicking one time because I had gotten a dog and he had gotten into some chocolate. And I just panicked because I found out that, you know, it can kill a dog or it's harmful for dogs.
It's really interesting to know about those differences between species and how they metabolize caffeine.
Can coffee become addictive?
Oh, it can become addictive very easily. In fact, a friend of mine who's a writer, she lives in Texas, she told me she was going to stop drinking coffee, and she would typically drink 3 or 4 cups a day. So when I heard that, I immediately called her up. I said, "What? Are you crazy? You're going to get withdrawals." So she started saying, "I can't deal with it. I got this splitting headache. What am I going to do? So I told her the secret is to drink a cup of tea, because tea, while it has a little bit of caffeine, doesn't have as much as coffee.
Right.
That even that little bit will take your headache away.
Wow.
So you can, you know, get off coffee for a week or so by drinking a nice cup of tea.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, I mean, did it work for her?
Yes, it did work. It did work. And, I wanted to bring that anecdote to your attention, because it mm-hmm. illustrates how caffeine can become addictive. And wow. once you are used to drinking a couple of cups of coffee a day, or even just one cup a day, if you suddenly stop, you will have withdrawal symptoms. And they include the same kind of feeling you get from a cold, like a runny uh-huh. nose. And you'll get a bit of fatigue, tiredness, and fatigue will set in, and you'll get headaches. So this is the type of withdrawal symptom that you will expect if you cease drinking coffee suddenly.
Just like cold turkey, just like, I'm just going to stop today, and then tomorrow you'll probably find me in a closet, like drinking a cup of tea of Earl Grey.
That's the solution. A little bit of caffeine goes a long way.
Well, does genes influence how many cups of coffee you can drink?
Yes, not only that, but when you take the genetic test that I took for 23andMe, it tells you what their prediction is for how many cups of coffee you will drink a day. And if you are a rapid metabolizer, then there's, like I said, a spectrum of the ability to tolerate caffeine. And they can predict pretty accurately by looking at your genes whether you'll drink 3.5 cups, mm. 3¾ cups, or 4 cups a day. And or if you will drink less than average, they'll tell you you will typically drink only 3/4 of a cup a day, because you don't really deal with the caffeine that well. It's amazing how
wow.
genetics is kind of fine-tuning our understanding of the human metabolic system.
How many cups of coffee do you drink a day?
Right now, I'm on 1 cup of coffee and 1 cup of tea a day, and I drink them simultaneously. What I do is I make the cup of tea, and before I even take the first sip, I put in 2 scoops of instant coffee. And I stir it up, and in that one cup, I have my tea and my coffee.
Wow.
And the reason I do that is because I like to have the calming effect of tea at the mm-hmm. exact same time to counterbalance any nervousness or jitters that I do occasionally experience, you know. I get kind of wired from coffee, and the tea kind of flattens that out.
So, have you ever had like a bad episode where you could not get coffee, or you couldn't get a cup of coffee or a cup whatever caffeine? Did you just like start tripping? Did you just start like screaming at people and going, "I need my coffee"?
Well, I definitely have had many days when I decided to go out of the house without having a cup of coffee first, because there were some tasks I wanted, some chores I wanted to do right away, mm-hmm. or. You know, if I was a little sleep deprived, I said to myself, geez, I'm not going to have coffee right away. Maybe when I come back, I'll take a nap.
Right.
And boy, that was a mistake. I would go out. But the thing with me is, when I'm deprived of caffeine, I don't get that kind of rapid talking. Mm-hmm. Instead, I get the fatigue and the slower brain function, like cloudy thinking, you know, brain fog.
Right.
That's what happens to me.
Wow. So you have, this is such an interesting book. I don't want to throw it out there that you can buy it anywhere, or whatever, because I think you cannot, but I am just so privileged to have it. And it's just like my little Bible here. And William has the advantages and the disadvantages. So should I start with the disadvantages? Because there are more advantages than the disadvantages.
Yes.
So let's do the disadvantages.
But before you start with that, I have one little thing to say about this
book. Sure.
This book was not published. I didn't publish it. even though I've published about a dozen or more books, I sometimes write books just for my friends and family. And this book I call A Secret Book on Coffee, because I didn't want the general public to have all this information. I wanted to keep it within my close circle of friends and family. Oh. But if anybody does want a copy, just send me an email and I'll give you the secret link where you could get a copy of the book for, I think it's only $2 or less.
Oh my God. And it's such a, I mean, I was on a set and I kept reading it and I said, oh, I didn't know coffee did this. Oh, I didn't know coffee did that. Yeah. So now I want him to talk about the disadvantages, but that I will put that in the show notes, his email address, and then he'll in turn send you the secret code, because I want him to do that and decide if he wants to put you in his circle of friends.
Trust me, anybody who writes who's a friend of yours is a friend of mine.
Oh, how you doing?
So thank you.
So let's talk about the disadvantages.
Okay. One of the disadvantages is that coffee is an insecticide.
Oh.
Because actually, it's the caffeine that's an insecticide. And very few people realize this, but a little bit of caffeine that you might have happen to leave out on your kitchen countertop or table, if ants or little flies come along and ingest that, it will kill them right away.
And
the caffeine plant produces the caffeine in the coffee beans as a insecticide to prevent insects from devouring the plant.
Wow.
So that's a negative. You don't want to, you know, consume too much of a bug killer or an insecticide.
Right.
That's one of the disadvantages. There's another disadvantage where it can interfere and boost. It interferes with your hormone levels a little. What it does is it happens to boost the what is called epinephrine, and that is a technical name for adrenaline.
Okay.
Now, that's a hormone that you need. You know, if you get into danger or something, your heart rate will increase and so on, and you can run away from danger or you can fight if you have to. So that's a valuable hormone to have, but you don't want to have it when you don't need it. But coffee will produce the adrenaline just as soon as you drink it, you know, within a few minutes.
Wow.
So some people consider that a negative because they don't want to have that fight or flight response when it's really not called for or needed.
And I also see here coffee or caffeine can boost dopamine.
Yeah, that's really an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Dopamine is the one of the feel-good neurotransmitters, and it makes you feel kind of like Superman or Superwoman.
Right.
And it is a nice, nice feeling.
And that's a disadvantage? Because I like to feel like that.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that some people don't know how to deal with the feeling. Mm-hmm. It's generally a positive result, but rapid increases in dopamine can give you an artificial boost, which can cause you to become dependent and, again, addicted to coffee. So that's a very small and minor disadvantage.
Wow. Wow. I'm just trying to think if I felt like Superwoman and I just felt like, you know, I saw someone that I just really did not like and it's like, just take a sip, you know, like Popeye with the spinach. And just take a sip and go, this is what I really feel about you. And let me tell you why.
There is the risk of that happening. You got to be aware of that risk.
And then the wonderful, wonderful advantages of drinking coffee. Oh. I see one that says, coffee fights certain cancers.
It was a surprise to me that it can reduce some of the cancers that typically people will get. It's associated with a reduced risk of prostate cancer and a reduced risk of non-advanced prostate cancer. There's two types of prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And in general, it fights other types of cancer by inhibiting the growth of the cancer cells.
Wow.
I have some research footnotes in the book, which will bring people to the scientific studies that I used to produce this narrative. So if people are, you know, saying, "Nah, I don't believe that, that sounds too good to be true," you can read the scientific studies and see, you know, decide for yourself if you find them credible.
Yeah, I did see the footnotes, and they're very impressive, by the way. You also have here, coffee sharpens the sense of taste.
And this is something I didn't realize till I started researching this, but it's really good to know. You know, wine tasters,
yeah,
have to have a very acute sense of taste on their tongue. Between one wine and the next, often they will drink a little bit of coffee, and it clears the tongue. Not only does it do that, but it sharpens their ability to discriminate different qualities of taste and aroma. Wow. And their tongue becomes sharper. And how you can use this if you're just a regular person who wants to enjoy their dinner more, mm-hmm. Well, instead of having your coffee after dinner, have it beforehand. And then you will taste your food more, and it will taste more crisp or clear or more pleasant to you.
Now, I do know that coffee beans are used if you go to a fragrance counter, and if you want to smell in between different scents, they'll tell you to smell the coffee first and then go to the next scent. I have actually experienced that, and it actually works.
It's amazing the way it can clear the slate, so to speak. It's like erasing a blackboard, and it allows you to approach the next perfume or the fragrance with as if it's the first one you're smelling, and it won't confuse you with the previous one. And
right.
It also will sharpen your ability to perceive aromas.
And also we have here, coffee makes colors brighter.
Yes, this is something that I think any graphic artist would love to know, because they're dealing with colors, they're dealing with lines, and their visual ability or acuity will be sharpened by caffeine. They'll see colors in a brighter way. Now, the downside of that is, while they're doing their painting, they may look at it and say, "Wow, this is really so fabulous, so bright." But then after the caffeine wears off, it may look duller.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, folks, before you go to a museum, you might want to have a cup of coffee, because you'll enjoy the paintings more.
So when we say have a cup of coffee, because there's a couple more I want to ask, but when we say having a cup of coffee, we mean just plain black. We're not talking about adding cream and sugar and all that. We're just talking about a good black cup of coffee.
But the thing is, the caffeine will exert its effect no matter what kind of a coffee drink you have. But I drink it black, but a lot of people prefer different drinks.
Yeah, I like to have a splash of cream.
You know, it's good to smoke a cigarette when you drink coffee, too. Because
why?
Because, well, even though a lot of people, you know, say, you know, cigarettes are no good for you, it's the caffeine and the nicotine have a kind of, a synergistic effect. And I remember my grandmother always having a cigarette lit when she was drinking her coffee. And a lot of people find that that is quite good for them. In fact, that's why I have a picture of me on the back of the book, my author's photo, and you'll see me smoking a cigarette.
I do.
But folks, I don't really smoke. I just did that for laughs.
And I often wonder why I always see people with a cup of coffee and a cigarette. And I kept thinking it must do something, the two together must do something, some type of feeling or some type of taste.
Yes, like I said, it's a synergistic effect, and both are addictive, nicotine much more so.
Yeah.
And together, they produce a very nice euphoria.
Now, another thing, and these are from all of my, artists, as far as the artist part, the brighter colors, which I love. But for my people who write, you have here, coffee stimulates the ability to write.
Oh, absolutely. This was the most phenomenal thing I learned about coffee. And I learned this in 2007. And here's how it happened. I was walking home, preparing to work on a book about writing, which was subsequently published as Fiction Writing Masterclass. And as I was walking home, I passed a place that sold coffee. And I didn't drink coffee, but I just stopped in and I said, well, I'll just try it, you know. And I got a big cup of black coffee. Well, when I got home, I wrote an entire chapter in one night. I couldn't believe it. Then I said to my wife, do you want me to do any household chores? I'll wash the dishes, I'll sweep the floors, I'll vacuum, I'll make the bed. And I was just had so much energy. I wrote and I did all these chores. And then I said to myself, what is going on here? And I researched it and I found out that one of my favorite writers, Jack Kerouac, who is very famous for his novel On the Road, mm-hmm. he raved about coffee. He used every drug under the sun, you know. And he said to his friends, you have to try coffee. It is the best. It's better than heroin. It's better than Benzedrine. It's better than amphetamines and speed. Wow. Coffee is something that brings the words to the tip of your tongue and to your typewriter. In those days, they used typewriters.
Right, right.
And he said he was able to write. He wrote the book, The Subterraneans, one of my favorite. It's actually my favorite Kerouac novel, in 3 days.
Wow. A whole novel.
Yeah.
In 3 days.
Whole novel.
Just had that thing just percolating. And every time I would just grab a cup of, oh my God, that is such interesting news.
But Juanita, you got to understand the other effect that coffee has. It reduces creativity. Yes, it lets you write.
Oh.
Yes, it gives you the words. It gives you this impulsiveness so that when you sit down and start typing, the words will come as if you had no blocks whatsoever. You will write. However, you will not have the kind of brainstorms and creative sparks that you would otherwise have if you were not using caffeine. Caffeine narrows your focus, gives you a kind of tunnel vision. It puts the distractions aside, and you've got your nose to the grindstone, so to speak, mm-hmm. and you're able to focus. But you must also realize that it's a good idea to do some brainstorming and thinking on the hours and the days or the times when you're not drinking coffee, you know, because you might get some additional ideas. But overall, I would say that any writer who's over, say, the age of 30 or so, mm-hmm. got to try coffee and see what it will do for your writing. It's just unbelievable what it can do.
Wow. Now, before I let you go, William, there is one chapter that I thought was I loved it. It was called How an Image Consultant Uses Coffee. And one of the things that you had mentioned, or I was telling you before we started talking, you said, if you want coffee to last longer in your system, eat grapefruit or drink grapefruit juice.
And yes, the reason is, and I'll mention also cannabis, because a lot of people in New York, where we're broadcasting now, and other states in the United States, have found that cannabis is now legalized, so they might want to try it.
Right.
But after you use certain drugs like cannabis or caffeine, the mm-hmm. body is programmed to metabolize those substances. Metabolize means to destroy those substances mm-hmm. and take them out of your bloodstream. And the body does this very efficiently. It takes some hours for the body to do it, but it does it. Now, it turns out that grapefruits and grapefruit juice has the effect of interfering with the CYP chromosome. And the CYP chromosome is the clearing chromosome that clears these drugs from your system. So if you interfere with the CYP50 chromosome with grapefruits, then it won't work as effectively at clearing these drugs from your system, and you'll maintain that cannabis high, or you'll maintain that coffee effect for more hours.
So you're saying if I smoke a J and drink coffee, I'm going to be feeling like really good.
Yeah, and then have some grapefruit juice, and it'll last longer.
Oh my God. William Kane, it's always a pleasure having you on my show. Guys, this guy has written so many great books. He is such a good lecturer. He is all over the place, and I have the pleasure of calling him a friend, and he always makes me laugh, but everything that he talks about is just so very interesting, and I am so pleased that he took the time to share this book. And again, I will put in the show notes his email, and he will respond to you and give you all the information about his book, because it's not available in the public. He's not selling it, you know, in the public, but it is such a wonderful book. And you guys, oh my God, I just love that. And I love the footnotes, and I love the references of all the people that you focus on. I mean, it's just amazing.
Thank you.
It's amazing.
It's such a pleasure to talk to you. You make interviewing very, very easy and fun. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And we will have William on again, like I said, later in the year. And we're going to talk about another subject. But thank you so much, William Kane, Coffee Nectar of the Gods or Dangerous Brew. You take care.
You too. Thanks again. Cheers.
That's a wrap for today on It Starts Now. Catch us on BBS Radio TV and all your streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, CastBox, and more. Want to keep the conversation going? Hit that subscribe button and share this episode with your crew. And you got a brand or business that you want to promote? Let us team up. Email me at thebeautyfiles2@gmail.com or facejobmedia.com. Your best life, it starts now. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.